really good thing. It is. So lovely to see you today. Really is. Coming through the rain this day. One person even came on a motorcycle in the rain today. Very brave. We are beginning a series entitled The Deep Meaning of Christmas. So I suppose that there are a lot of superficial things that are connected with Christmas that people figure Christmas is all about this or that or whatever. I wonder, can you think of any things that are not really the heart or the deep meaning of Christmas, but that seem to be associated with Christmas? You've got to help me now. Pardon me? Oh, all the decorations, yeah. Christmas carols? Presents? Oh, presents.
Chocolate.
Santa Claus, yeah? Santa, yeah. Santa's not the meaning, like the deep... Pardon me? Secret Santa. Yeah, could be too. So, you know, there are a lot of things that seem to be associated with Christmas. Over these next 4 weeks, we're going to be going for the deep meaning of Christmas, the real, the beginning, the significant reality of Christmas. And this is the first week of Advent, as has already been said, Advent number one. That's 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, and Christians all around the world of many, many backgrounds celebrate Advent. Advent means coming. So something's coming. And Advent then means that we're waiting for this thing that's coming. We're anticipating this thing that's coming. We're longing for this thing that's coming. And so what are we waiting and longing and hoping for here? Well, Advent number one, waiting, anticipating, longing for the Christmas celebration. So it's coming up on the 25th. We're going to celebrate. We have this time together and so on. And we are asking you to stay home on Christmas morning and then to come online to our service and then to worship the Lord together with your family home at home on the 25th. So we're looking forward to this Christmas celebration, which celebrates the first coming of Jesus. But that's not the only meaning of Advent. The second meaning is we're looking forward to something else, the second coming of Jesus. Because Jesus promised he was going to come again. And Advent is this time of saying, wow, if Jesus is coming again, am I really ready for him? Am I prepared for this? There are a lot of people who think that Jesus could come very soon. Not just this indefinite time in the future, but very soon. And so I wonder, if Jesus were, say, to come today, would that feel like a threat to you? Oh man, not today. I wouldn't want to meet him today. I'm not ready to meet him today. Or would it feel like a blessing, like a hope, like a joy? Oh man, we'd see him today, face to face. There's a difference. So if we're expecting Jesus to come at any time, our natural longing would be for more of Jesus now. And that's the third thing that I've got here on the meaning of Advent, that we're longing for more of Jesus right now. So therefore, these next 4 weeks are a time for prayer, where you may find special time for prayer and even fasting. In fact, I'd suggest for next Sunday, which is the first Sunday of December, that you would skip breakfast. And you would come here without breakfast, and that the first food that would touch your lips would be the bread when we celebrate communion together. And we remember Jesus when we take communion together. The first thing that hits your lips, just a suggestion, I'm not telling you what to do, but you could. And during that time, just really we're focusing on the Lord, a time for prayer and meditation. It's a time for Bible reading of the Christmas story, and often what families do is they'll sit down and they'll read, start at Luke and read through this to their kids or grandkids and so on. And then the other thing is acts of service. It's not just about prayer and Bible reading, but also acts of service. So today, before you leave, you're going to get one of these things. It's called Five Ways to Joy. And we're asking you to do five things over this Christmas season, this Advent season. I'll read them to you. Number one is, these are things we're asking you to do anyway. Number one, invite someone to the Christmas cantata and come with them. Thanks for that. Good word, by the way. I wish I could talk like those guys. I'd be saying come. You do that every now and again, but never mind. Don't feel bad about it. Invite someone to the Christmas cantata and come with them, number one. Number two, bake or buy Christmas treats and bring them to a neighbor with a greeting. Do you know, if you go to Creation Bookstore on Oxford Street here, they have some beautiful cards that are just, they're not preachy at all. They're just really friendly, like, you know, the Peanuts cartoon where this is the true meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown, you know, and that kind of stuff. You could sign your name to that and say, wishing all you the best at Christmas, and give it to your neighbor. Just a contact. Number three, buy a toy for Lillian McLean's toy drive. You know, we're collecting toys here. Lillian plays on a hockey team, and she's collecting toys, and through the hockey team, they're taking them to the Salvation Army, and they're going to give them out to families that won't have toys for Christmas. So we're going to help with that. So that's number three, buy a toy. The next one, number four, buy food for the Christmas hampers. So you can take one of the things off the tree out here, and this is for the cheer baskets and for the hampers, and any leftovers we're going to take to the food bank. Five ways to join. Number five is invite a family to the Christmas Eve candlelight service. Come yourself, invite one of your friends to the candlelight service Christmas Eve. So there are five things. You take this home, and these are things we can do which are pathways to joy as we serve in this way. Okay, Advent number one then today is we're thinking about hope in hopeless times. Hopeless times, age of despair. Like, do you feel hope? You know, a lot of people are feeling somewhat hopeless these days, or troubled by the things that are happening in the world, like the wars and rumors of wars. Ukraine and many other places are having civil wars, like Burma and Ethiopia. Well, actually, there's a peace treaty in Ethiopia just now. There are lots of things on the go. You know, mortgage rates are high, interest rates, and like, we could just start down a list here, couldn't we? A lot of people are feeling hopeless about many, many things. Anxiety. If you were to Google anxiety, you'd see that this is a special time of high anxiety for many, many people, for young people especially, kids in school, as well as adults. In the book and then the musical, Les Miserables, it's an incredible story of mercy and grace and forgiveness, but it's also this story of deep sadness. And one of the people there is Fantine. She's a young mother who is dying without hope. And she sings this song, "I dreamed a dream in days gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living. So different from what it seems. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed." For a lot of people, the experiences of life are really hard and kill the dreams that we've had about our life. And a lot of Canadians feel this way about inflation and grief, loss of loved ones, and disease, and all kinds of issues. And you know that young people today particularly are concerned about the environment and global warming. I don't know what you think about global warming, but you need to know that there are tons of young people who are anxious about what's happening in our world. Anxiety. So where do we go to find hope? Well, our hopeless times are much like history. If you know all down through history, there's been reason to be hopeless. There have been hard times, difficult times, forever and ever. In fact, if you think through the Bible times, you think of Joseph, this guy growing up with his dad and his 11 brothers and his mom, and you know, and those brothers sell him as a slave, throw him down a pit, first of all, sell him as a slave. He goes, he does what's right as a slave. He's still thrown in jail for a number of years. And in the middle of all this, wouldn't he feel hopeless? Because he's in the middle of the story. He hasn't seen the end of the story yet. That's why he's hopeless. You think of Jonah, when he was in the belly of that big fish, would he feel hopeless? I would imagine, because he's in the middle of the story. He hasn't seen the end yet. You think of Esther, Queen Esther. She hears this thing that all of her people are going to be massacred. And she decides that she's going to go in to the king and ask for help. And she knows if she goes into the king and the king doesn't want her there right now, he'd have her killed. She takes the risk. She must have been feeling somewhat hopeless for the sake of her people. But she was in the middle of the story, right? She hadn't seen the end yet. And when you think of Mary, Mother Mary, and the disciples having seen the crucifixion and being beside that tomb and weeping, ugh, he's dead, he's gone. How hopeless is this? Hopeless only because they're in mid-story, right? They hadn't seen the end yet for Jesus' powerful resurrection and the newness of life. Our hopeless times are just like other hopeless times because we too are in mid-story, aren't we? We haven't seen the end yet. We're looking for Jesus to come. So, how do we find hope? If we could find hope, that'd be an incredibly wonderful thing. Hope, there have been about 1,000 studies done on hope in the last decade or so. Seems to be a very important thing in psychology and all kinds of things. So hope is this indicator of well-being. If a person really has hope, it seems to make a difference in their physical well-being, in their strength and health. If a person has hope, there seems to be a difference in their social well-being, like how they get along with other people. And in their psychological well-being, how they just feel about life in general. If you have hope, you can keep moving forward. Hope is this beautiful thing. How do we get this? Well, this is where we're going today. Hope, how we use hope, usually though, is like a wish or a dream, isn't it? If you say, well, I hope it doesn't rain today, how much power do you have to stop the rain today? Here, Bruce, on your way home today on your motorcycle, I hope it doesn't rain on my way home. How much power do you have to stop that rain? Nothing. We don't. So we use the word like a wish dream. I hope it kind of happens, but there's nothing I can do about it. Hope in the Bible is a different thing. Hope. And so here's a definition. I want you to consider this and maybe keep your judgment until the very end when we're done. Hope is the belief that your future will be better than today. Hope is the belief that your future will be better than today, whatever you're going through today. Now, just by itself, that would be optimism, right? And there's some of us who are optimists, and some of us are pessimists, and there are lots of other options for us, too. So let's consider this for a minute. You come to an optimist, and you say, well, it's a beautiful day today, and you're looking really nice. And an optimist would say, well, thank you. It is a lovely day, isn't it? And I am feeling good, so thank you. You go to a pessimist and you say exactly the same thing. What's a lovely day today and you're really looking good. And the pessimist will say, are we in the same day? Like, and I'm not feeling very well today. So how do you say that? You go to a cynic and you say exactly the same thing. Ah, what a beautiful day today and you're really looking nice. And a cynic will say, are you trying to get volunteers for like children's ministry or something like that? You go to a narcissist and you say the same thing, what a lovely day today, and you're really looking good. And a narcissist will say, well, I was just thinking the same. Tell me more. Hope has nothing to do with any of those things. Hope, the belief that your future will be better than today and that you have something to do with that outcome. There's action to be taken. Now, what's the action? Hope, the belief that your future will be better than today and you have something to do with it. You have some power, you have some agency. Even in the midst of adversity, there's something you can do to give you hope. And just as an aside at this point, I want to say that trauma robs people of hope. Trauma, going through something that's just excruciating and feeling all alone, tends to rob people of hope. So if you know somebody who's going through trauma, you need to be an agent of hope for them. We'll talk more about that before we're done. So the big point today is this, that Jesus is the one who brings hope. And we want to look at what God says about hope, and that turns us to Romans 15 and 13, and this is the text right here. But if we say that Jesus brings hope in hopeless times, we listen for things that God says about hope in his word, we hear such things as this, that as a Christian, you've been called into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You've been called into this thing, this living hope, because Jesus rose from the dead. If we listen to God speaking about hope, we hear him saying that the promise of Jesus Christ returning is the blessed hope. Oh, what an incredibly blessed hope that is. Jesus will come again. If we listen to Jesus speaking again, we'll hear him say, God speaking again, that as a Christian, Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. Having Jesus in us, the hope of glory. So where do we go for hope? Romans 15, 13 really helps us a lot, because God calls himself the God of hope, the originator of hope, the deliverer of hope. God says, this is where you come for hope. May the God of hope fill you with all... help me. Stand up, would you? And let's read it together. Okay. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one more time, okay? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks. You can be seated. So what do we learn from this verse? The first thing is this, that the source of hope is God. May the God of hope, God identifies himself as the God of hope. He's got a lot of names, right? A lot of ways that he identifies himself, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who will provide for you. But this is one of the beautiful things that I love. He's the God of hope. When we remember all the stories of the Bible, people who were hopeless in the middle of their situation, and God shows up and helps them and brings them out. He's the Almighty. He's the Most High God. He's the one who gives us hope. God himself. Do you remember in Jeremiah, they were facing a hopeless time. It was absolutely dreadful as a nation. And Jeremiah comes along and delivers a message from God. He says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Hope. in the midst of hopeless times comes from God. All the people in the Bible were in the middle of the story. Felt hopeless? God brings hope. The next thing is this, the fruit of hope is joy and peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Joy is pretty wonderful. It's this lightness of spirit in the midst of even difficult times. Peace is this thing that just sort of calms you down when you're all wired up and just, oh, it's okay, peace. The Lord is with you. The peace of Christ upon us. Joy and peace. This is not the promise of an easy life. True? That's not what it is. Not the promise of an easy life, but it's the promise of a better life. Because in the midst of whatever we face, we have God's joy and his peace and his presence. 1 Peter 1 puts it this way, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his great mercy, has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. In this living hope in the resurrection, in this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while you may have to suffer all kinds of trials. That's life, isn't it? It's really life. And we have Jesus giving us hope in the midst of all of this. So, the source of hope is God. The fruit of hope is joy and peace in the midst of whatever circumstance. The means of hope is as you trust in him. Oh, what was that thing about hope? Again, believing that our life in the future is going to be better than today, but you have something to do with it. Oh, this is what we have to do with it. The means of hope as you trust in him and keep on trusting in him. Your translation might say in believing or as you believe in him. Very parallel thinking, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus. Trusting in God, trusting in the Lord Jesus. We have something to do with this, with the outcome. We trust in Jesus and we keep on trusting him. Even in the midst of difficult times, we trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I was thinking about this week and thinking that there are a couple of factors here in trusting God this way. One is there's a point in time where we come to put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus. For some people, it's not always quite that distinct. It happens so slowly that you don't notice the point in time. But there's a point in time when we stop trusting in ourselves to get us right with God, where we begin trusting in Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. That point in time is the time of salvation, the time of receiving the Holy Spirit. It's the time of receiving the gift of eternal life. When we say, do you know what? The stuff I've been trying to do to make my life better, it's not really working for me very well. I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive my sins and to lead me forward in this life. The point in time of being born again into the family of God. But secondly, it's not just a point in time in the past, right? There's also the matter of trusting in him day by day, right now, as we move forward from here to the end of time. It's an ongoing daily practice, trusting in God every day. In the morning, Lord, I look to you for the strength I need just to make it through. Have mercy. In the evening, Lord, I look back and say, it was in your strength that I made my way. Have mercy. All day long, 24/7, trusting the Lord. And what are the results? The results of hope. This, may the God of peace fill you with all, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's our part, right? And keep on trusting him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is it our power? It is not our power. It is never our power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us, giving us hope even in the midst of these really difficult times. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's not the power of good luck. It's not the power of karma. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Is your heart wide open to this relationship with God like this? To the filling up of hope in us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Is your heart wide open? I've got a story to tell you now. It has to do with Ruth's mom. I think I might have told you the story before, but she had Alzheimer's for the last number of years of her life, where we just saw her fading, and her brain, the synapses, were blocked, weren't functioning anymore. She couldn't put words together. For a little while, she could sing with us, and then she couldn't even sing with us. She didn't even know who we were. We'd go and visit her on Mondays, and it was hard. It was hard. So we came to her one Monday, and we had two of our grandkids with us, and we came up and we talked with her. We told her some stuff that was happening. She just smiled. And in the end, we realized, well, I guess it's time for us to go. She wasn't able to say anything to us, or we sang a song for her. She didn't sing. She always sang her beautiful alto voice. So there we are. We say, well, okay, I guess we better go. So I said, Mom, we're going to pray now, and then we're going to go. And she just went. So, okay. So we held hands around the circle, Ruth and I and two grandkids like this. And I'm the pastor, so I'm going to pray. And she starts right away. As soon as we grab hands, she says, Heavenly, you know who you are. You know who you are. I looked at Ruth. Oh, yeah, he does know who he is. She had forgotten what to say next. Heavenly. And then she said some gobbledygook, honestly, words that we'd never heard before, sounds we had no idea what she was saying. And then she paused and she said, hearts, hearts wide open. And I looked at Ruth. I said, where did that come from? Her brain is fried. Hearts wide open. Where did that come from? Because that had been her life. Her heart wide open to the living God, to the Lord Jesus Christ in her life, all of her life. And even when her brain is fried and she can't have a thought, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is still inside her to teach us about hearts wide open. Is your heart wide open to the living and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives us hope in difficult times and all the time? Last thought is this, that hope is a relational gift. It's a relational gift. It's a social thing. Hope comes when you're connected with other people or with someone greater than yourself. So just a story of a young kid at school who's absolutely depressed, even thinking of suicide, just beside themselves with trouble. And a teacher comes along and listens and listens and listens, and then leans into the kid and says, I know you. I've seen you. You're going to be all right. You're going to do really well. Hang in there. And somehow or other, some hope comes into that child as a gift from the other person. That's a small amount. It's a wonderful thing. It's one level of hope. But our greater hope comes when we pour out things to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus leans into us and he says, I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Keep trusting in me, and we'll see what happens, because you're in mid-story right now. Have hope for the future, because I am with you. Where do you go when you have something that seems hopeless? Honestly, like you're praying for somebody who's just made a U-turn and gone some other direction or whatever. You're praying and you're waiting and you're longing. Where do you go? We go to the Lord. What do you do when you see your neighbor struggling with something, like financially or some kind of an issue or a relationship or a child or whatever in grief? Can you go to them and say, I'll walk with you through this and I'll pray for you because I know that Jesus is the one who can give us hope in the midst of hopeless times. For me, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, anything else, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. May the God of hope fill you, fill you, fill you with joy and peace as you keep on trusting in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord, our God, Almighty God, creator of the universe, maker of everything that exists. You're the great God, most high, and we come to you today because you're the source of hope. We pray that you will fill us personally with hope, but as a church, grant us this fullness of hope as we look to the future, Lord, knowing that you are with us forever. Would you help us to live in such a way as the people of God in this world that we would not increase confusion and anxiety and anger and trouble in the world, but that we would live in such a way to increase love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and hope. Would you help us, Lord, to live in such a way where we trust you every day, and as we trust in you, that we will restrain evil by the power of your Holy Spirit in this world, because we're working in harmony with you. That as we pray and as we speak to others and as we do good from day to day, that we'll be pointing in the direction of Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of the world, the hope. Help us to live in such a way that others will know that the time is near for Jesus' return. Help us to live in such a way that people will know that when Jesus comes again as the judge, that he will bring justice, that he will settle disputes among nations, and people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Help us to live in such a way, Lord Jesus, that we reflect you and your beauty, that we carry the aroma of Jesus into our worlds and bring honor to your name, because you are so worth it. You are so wonderful. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.